Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kale Teeter, Evan Basilik, and Sujit Mello, discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic, and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please see our website at azpodcast.com. Well, welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 81, being recorded on the 10th of June, 2015, with special guest Casey. My name is Sujit DeMello, and on Skype with me today I have Evan Basilik, and unfortunately Kale Teeter, our normal other co-host, is unavailable today. He just got out of work, and so he's getting the night off. And of course we have our special guest, Casey. Now, before I give Casey a chance to introduce himself, as always, we like to keep our listeners up to date with some of the latest updates in the Azure space. And today is a special chance for me to give you those updates from Casey's Windows Phone app, which is kind of the topic of our discussion today. So I actually fired up his app, and I was looking at some of the latest updates in the Azure space. So, Evan, you know, that you might be clued in on some of this. There's been some disruption of service in the SQL database service in the West, and I don't know if that's caught your desk yet or you've had to take any calls on that.
Actually, I've been having fun hanging out with the user group for the last 2 or 3 hours. So, I hadn't actually seen it until I pulled up Casey's app. I guess that's good news that we see it here, bad news that it's there.
Well, it's news, you know, good or bad, I suppose. And then the other not so bad news, I should say, is that the Azure Premium Storage is now generally available in Australia East region. And I think for those of there was also a price reduction for ExpressRoute, I think, for the 10 megabit circuit, and that promotion will be ending soon. It'll go back to its normal pricing. And that's kind of the most recent updates. There are some ones that were before then as well, but that's the most recent set of updates. Well, Casey, go ahead and introduce yourself for our listeners.
Hi, thanks, Sujit. Thanks, Evan. Thanks for, it's nice being here in this Azure podcast. Hi, everyone. This is Krishna Chaitanya. I'm a consultant from Global Delivery. So I am working as an Azure Rangers for APAC region right now. I mainly deal with the delivery as well architecting solutions for partners at this moment. That's what I do, and it's very fortunate for me that I have been working on Azure front since its beta version. I'm really excited to work on Azure and know about it. That's my interest of area.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, so Casey, okay, so we're gonna have to throw down the gauntlet here, right? So if you're gonna, so you're talking you're talking beta of Azure or beta of Azure IaaS?
Beta. So the first portal where you just see two text boxes to upload your cloud service and configuration file. You know, the beta screen.
We may have to follow up offline because you might be the first person that I've worked with in a long time. Might have actually been around this space longer than I have. which would be cool because it's amazing to see where it is today, but right, it's kind of neat sometimes catching up with somebody who remembers what it really was when it was just sitting under a couple of devs' desk, right, at that point. So,
and Casey, let's also you mentioned Global Delivery. I'm not sure for all our listeners might be aware. I think many of them are aware of what MCS does in general, but give a high-level overview of what Global Delivery does.
Sure. So Global Delivery, we deal with we work with MCS on delivering projects right from start. We all deliver projects for our customers, big hyper customers. We work with MCS day in, day out. So that's what I do. I work with mainly a lot of customers in and out. I also work with partners right now to actually solve problems on Azure. I'm So we have a group of consultants into global delivery. So it's equivalent to MCS, where we actually work with MCS to deliver projects and make our customers happy. That's what we do.
Okay. And it's, I guess the word global delivery means it's done offshore. Is that the main reason?
Yes. So essentially, MCS is the forefront to customers, and whereas we will actually work with MCS and to deliver projects, whatever.
Do you guys also work with the cloud architect or the cloud CSA cloud solution architects as well? Because they go in and they'll do some of the proof of concept stuff and everything. And I know they work with some other teams that are offshore. But is that your team or?
No, CSAs? No. We have a dedicated cloud architects team. Basically, we have an architects team who actually is dedicated for GD, who will help us in pre-sales or architecting different solutions.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay. Yes, you guys must run the gamut then in terms of expanding across the Azure ecosystem, using all those different components.
Yeah, we do have a lot of hypo deliveries which went live and which were right now running. Proud to say that I have been involved. Basically, we have a very good footprint of projects which we already delivered to biggest customers in GD.
Okay, and you're primarily in the app dev space. Is that fair to say? That's been your forte.
No, my primary space is in Azure. I'm working on Azure since that moment I joined GD, but my point of interest is Windows Phone development. So it's like mix and match of these, and I'm adherent developer. Lover of Linux also. So it's like three worlds getting together for me.
Sounds like a perfect trifecta over there. So you mentioned the Windows Phone, and I think I mentioned earlier that I was using your app. And so the app, just like I suppose, what's the name? Why don't you give our listeners the name of the app, and then we can kind of get into that.
Sure. So the app name is All About Azure. It's a Windows Phone app. So it actually gives you your latest updates on Azure, whatever it may be, starting from channel line videos to Azure status updates or Azure new service releases. Everything you wanted to know about Azure, you'll get a push notification as soon as they're out in public.
That's great. And I know it's a silly question, but you probably host something in Azure itself, right, to make this happen?
Yeah. So that's an interesting story. I wanted to actually put it out. So this the motivation for this app is basically in 2013 when I'm working with a huge customer at that point of time. So we had a very good release, which is a major chunk of release for us in different data regions. And we had deployment to the customer in production. Everything was fine and very well that day. All of a sudden, all the test cases started to fail, and we had a lot of escalation. We were like sitting all night and seeing why we aren't getting an issue. Essentially, we had a root cause analysis for that on the very next day. Essentially, what we found is there was a status update, basically, issue status update, that there was some sort of a distortion which is happening. The very moment which we actually could have intimated customer, but we were so involved in actually deployment, so we haven't took a chance to go to Azure status updates and look for that.
You just didn't look up from the
So that was our that was a very huge deployment, so we were not even thinking about that. Was back in 2013, 1 year back, when we were very new to this kind of large scale deployments. So
is this a bad coincidence for you that there was an Azure service outage just at the time that you were deploying your app for the first time?
Exactly. And that actually, where I'm also one of the deployment guys who are working there, so that actually triggered me. Okay, why would not I get a notification when there was an issue in Azure services, whatever it may be? So that actually triggered me to create a Windows Phone app, which is essentially called Red Dog Downtime. That point of time, where 1 year back.
That was you as well?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So that Red Hat downtime, essentially what I, and I was so fascinated with cloud services, websites, and Notification Hub, which were very new services at that point of time. I just started pulling out the data from RSS feeds, from the issue status blogs, and started giving push notifications to all the phone apps. It was working pretty well, but that's a challenge here is though at that point of time, we have custom feeds for RSS. So it was a little tricky to code and host it in cloud services, which were scheduled to pull the data and push notify all the users. It was working very well at that point of time. We had four versions continuously released, improving UI, improving the performance altogether. Then the next requirement is, as we know, it was very good for us that Azure is growing rapidly nowadays. We, the blink of an eye, you are getting a new service, as Sujit today perfectly pointed out. There was a new service which is released for premium storage in Australia. So this there was a rigorous development cycle happening right now. So I was like, okay, now I used to monitor community mails. I used to monitor blogs. I used to read blogs. I used to listen to channel line. Everything was perfectly working well. But still, when I wanted to talk to a customer or a partner, I was struggling to actually keep my information up to date. Since, you know, a partner is sometimes, if it was a partner who is right now working on a project, live project, might be very well updated than us who are working already with different projects and different people. So a partner used to tell me, hey, you know, yesterday there was a really release happened. You were aware of it. I was like, okay, let me look into that first. So that was like tricky for me, where I was little lagging. Like, I'm not real time up to date about the information, but I was little lagging on that. So just and a good thing is everything fell into place, where Azure team actually pulled all its blocks into a single RSS. Azure service updates into a single RSS. They were actually consolidating all this information into a single point of contact. Where now I said, okay, let's see what is the technology which we can use. Cloud services are becoming cumbersome for me to maintain, since I'm using a lot of feeds, and Windows Phone app has to be developed, iterated a number of times. The beauty of this is we got mobile services. And when I'm looking into mobile services, which fascinated me is, you have a scheduler, you have a web API, we have a notification hub. It is meant for cross-platform development. And it has almost everything which I need for development of a mobile application perfectly, irrespective of platform. That actually, okay, this is what I'm going to use. That's where I triggered myself and said, okay, let me use mobile services and start a POC first of all. Good thing is everything fell into place. Now I retired Red Hat downtime. I'm no longer developing it. I moved all the feeds, all the updates, all the real-time push notifications into All About Azure app. Now this app, I'm using App Insights to look into the crash details. I'm also trying to use mobile engagement, which is a preview service right now. The scheduler works perfectly. I have a detailed log analysis. I have notification hubs, which are very real time right now. You might have seen today. You got certain push notifications already today.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what the whole story basically. It triggered from a requirement where, which triggered me. Okay, like, let me do this. And fascinatingly, now mobile services are the single point of service which were developed. That's the beauty of Azure, at least I can say. You need not actually, it's your idea first of all, and you have everything available in your fingertips to develop. It took me around 2 days to actually envision in mobile services, frankly.
And compare that to the Red Dog downtime. I mean, where did it save you?
Yes. So Red Dog downtime, anyway, so the cloud service, error logging, everything is little time consuming to develop and deploy. Whereas mobile services, everything is inbuilt for you. You have the scheduler running out, the log analysis on the different pane. You have push notification embedded into it, SQL Server context already built into it, and mobile web app, web API, which is inbuilt into it. So it's like everything as a combined package for you.
That's a very nice story. Now, I mean, of course, you've kind of told us all the good things that happened. I'm sure you must have faced some challenges with some of these technologies as well. Some of them are new and whatnot. Anything that kind of came in the way?
There were also challenges. Basically, the first and foremost challenge is if you look at Azure status, service status, the real-time feed is not stored anywhere. You need to store by yourself. So that's the challenge where I need to create a logic in order to make sure that I don't push notify the same user two times on the issue. That's what one challenge. Second one, the user, as per the technology is concerned, App Insights has some issues with Windows 8.1, Windows RT versions. The app we choose with right now is Windows RT. So I just used App Insights 0.17 version right now, so which is little stable with RT. I built the entire code base on Universal App Windows. Let me give you the platform which I built on. I used Windows 10 as my host OS and Visual Studio 2015 RC. With all the new technologies, whatever it is right now in RT or whatever is latest in Microsoft space, I just used that. So, you know, certain things used to break, certain things not used to gel together. I used to contact all the groups, product groups, and say, okay, this is what I'm facing, get the reviews from them and fix it on iteration basis. That's what I did.
Let me just clarify one thing with you, JC. You said that you built this for RT. What did you mean by RT?
Yeah, so certain Silverlight components will not work in this version.
Oh, so you used the original platform for Windows Phone app, the Silverlight platform. I see what you mean. Okay.
Yes, okay. You're talking about the WinRT runtime, basically, at that point.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And you're moving it all to Universal App now. You mentioned Universal App as well.
Yeah, so that's what in my pipeline. So I'm really focused. I got a lot of queries asking, when are you going to release iPhone app and Android app? So I was like more concentrated on actually pulling this out to Windows Universal App first of all. That's what my core strength is. So once I get it running on Windows Store, Windows Phone app, everything working perfectly well, I wanted to add more features before I actually push it to Android or whatever. Features which I was looking for at least at this point of time is, you know, the UI can be improved a lot, first of all, as you know. It's plain just simple UI right now.
UIs are always the worst part for me.
But it's fine. You're using the typical Windows Phone UI, which is, it looks fine.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. I just wanted to actually improve upon the UI. I wanted to give some search filters where you can actually search by blog, search by service, search by updates. So as per your interest, I also wanted to give you more features on data center level where you say, okay, I'm more interested on Southeast Asia data center. Don't give me push notifications for all the data centers when there is an issue. Can be an option for you. So I'm just looking out what can be feasible at this point of time to add more features into the app, make it more helpful for you. The next would be actually moving to Windows desktop, Windows 10 apps, once it is out. Hopefully it is going to be a very good thing for us because one universal app can run in any platform, any form factor.
Got it. Can I make one suggestion for the app?
Sure, please.
Just consider it. You don't have to actually implement it, but you actually just alluded to that a little bit just now, which is you want to allow the facility to focus on a particular area, right, in a particular region. You don't have to show all the regions. And I was thinking maybe you could just, based on the location of the user, you could focus on regions closer to that user's location. So if I show up as, in the U.S., then you would focus, the U.S. regions, the U.S. issues would get more priority over, say, some issue in Australia or something in the Pacific West or some East or, far West, or whatever other regions we have.
Yeah, that's a very good feature which we can implement. But the problem side of this is, as I'm in India, but I'm more concentrated on my customers who are there. Maybe at this point of time, they can change again.
Yep.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be a nice setting, like a settings property to say, like, I care about these data centers, right?
Exactly. That's what I'm looking for now. But the major problem which I was like is you know, this the feed which I'm getting from RSS, the feed which I'm getting from the status updates, doesn't give me any idea about which data center the feed is all about. I have to get from the string on the title. I need to figure out from the title basically and say, okay, this is what the data center is.
That's what I have. There's no geo. There's no geocode information on the feed.
No. That's what I have done in Reddog downtime. But what I felt is some people might miss because of my logic. Some people might miss the notification if even if they are registered for certain regions.
Right. So you don't want to guess wrong.
So I don't want to make myself accountable or my app accountable for their misinformation there.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I vote for that. Right. It's always better to make sure they can see it. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At that point.
I mean, you know, fortunately, we don't have, like, it's not like, you know, we've got, like, thousands and thousands of things to see, right? I mean, it's a fairly concise list, right, that we can go through. We don't have to really go through, like, a whole lot of pages to get to what you're looking for.
And moreover, this app, which I'm actually having right now, is more focused on up-to-date events, not retro events, where you have, like, 50, 90 days back data and all. It's,
right.
Like, top 20 priority at this moment to get you going. And you're talking to your customer, or when you're talking to your partner, or you when you're working, you just wanted to see what is happening today at this point of time. You can just get a glimpse of what is happening for the past 1 week, and say, okay, let me get going on this.
Well, because that's really the key stuff, right? I mean, if you're doing it, if you're looking for some sort of, hey, what happened last week? You know, does the problem I had in my service hit last week? You're probably not looking for the real time thing that you're delivering.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You're more looking for, hey, something's going wrong. I'm getting emails from my boss saying something's not working. Let me go look at my phone and see if that's there. No, that's I love the idea. I was actually trying to think. I'll be interesting to watch sometimes because it's always a little bit challenging in my role. Like, we'll see some stuff internally, and some may or may not get big enough to go on the public dashboard. But sometimes there's delays in terms of our internal communications where I've seen things pop on the dashboard first.
Yeah.
Right? Just because of a glitch internally. So I may actually end up watching both personally.
Yeah, that's very valid, actually. I got a lot of requests even. I had around 90 days plus of data because I have been running this service for quite a long time, from quite 1 year. So I had all the data in my DB, or the entire issue database. But the only thing is that's not the standard database which is going to be the final one. You have to contact service support team. They would give you the best time analysis if there is any issue. That's what the recommended way to go. If there is a real-time database, real-time issue, then you can actually watch on my app because that's what happened just last week. But if you want retro data, I would actually prefer to go to service support team, get the data or logs from them, and get the root cause analysis done on it.
So my
data won't be.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, as a support guy, I don't know. I kind of like that they go to your app first. but that's just me, right? Obviously, I'm not quite in line with that. But yeah, no, I actually agree with you, right? We have the ability to, you know, kind of really give some of the back-end details to, you know, to people about really, you know, exactly when it started, stopped, all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah. And that would more actually give you customer confidence that, okay, someone is actually supporting me. I'm not just left with an app to look into that details.
Support? No, we don't do that. Go see KC's app. We don't.
That's great. So you mentioned that you're working on, or you are considering writing it for other platforms at some point, right? iOS
yes.
and Android.
Yes.
You got to work out the UI. I guess you want to come up with some sort of UI that will work across all these platforms and not just a Windows look and feel kind of thing.
Yes. I very, very valid. I'm actually looking for that. So as I said, the first priority for me is to actually make it as rich as possible on Windows platform. Then, you know, I'm a little biased towards Windows Phone.
Of course, yeah, as it should be. Now, suppose our listeners want to offer you some suggestions or things like that. Should they just go through the app, or if they don't have a Windows Phone today and they want to still offer you suggestions for your next version, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
I have my personal website, which is akrishnajitani.com, which has a feedback page.
Okay, we'll put a link to that. Okay. We'll put a link to that in the show notes so that our listeners have that.
Yeah. so anyone can actually feed in their request or feed in their. I got a lot of feedback from phone app itself. It's like, this is what I wanted to implement. This is what I would like to see your app look like. So I'm just taking all the inputs and making a note of them right now. Hopefully, you know, when I find a little more time than right now, I'll actually implement all of them into the next video release. That's what I'm planning right now.
Yeah, that's great. So my question is, like, you know, so you obviously had some experience with Azure going into this. You know, the thing that I always find interesting talking to people who've done real projects, right, because it's one thing to just kind of talk the theoretical or architect it, but actually having done it, what's the one thing that blew your mind about some aspect of Azure that you were using in your app that you just, you know, didn't know we did, or it just completely changed the way that you would have gone about developing? I mean, did you have any kind of those aha moments, or, oh, wow, this is just amazing that I can do?
Right. That is there. The one I would actually watch for App Insights. It's a fantastic service, Application Insights. You know, when past days, when I'm actually doing Windows Phone app, when there was a crash or when there was an issue, I never know what is exactly going on with the app. I used to find it on my phone where, okay, these many crashes, okay, I don't know what is going on with the different handsets. But Application Insights is one beauty of the service. It just gives you all the dump, all the information which you need when there is any crash or when there is any usage issue, whatever you wanted to know about your Windows Phone, it's there in App Insights now.
I would have to agree. I was just playing around one day and I turned on App Insights on, I think because you can turn it on as you're publishing something. And I turned it on for an app that I've had out in the store for a while. And, you know, all of a sudden I had this data that said, hey, I had 30 crashes in the last month. And I look and they're all the same call stack. I never knew that was going on with the app. I mean, I knew it was crashing, right, because you used to get that data from the store, but I didn't know the call stacks or anything. Just a little checkbox got me that. So, yeah, no, I completely agree with you. That's a really, really powerful.
And then, moreover, the beauty of this Application Insights is you can put it on web API, you can put it on phone, you can put it on Windows app, I mean, store app in future if you wanted to. So it's like you have end-to-end 360 view of your what is going on with your app. Even if it is on a debug app, I would actually recommend to turn it on and see how it is behaving, how many sessions you are actually running, how much, if there is any crash, what is that actually causing that. You need not actually put it to live or to go to debug audience and say, okay, please test it for me. It's you can test it for a while before you actually release it. That's what I used to do.
Yep.
Every time you see a version, the next version is on my phone.
Yep. Yep. No, that's great. So, that's great to hear that, you know, that kind of that even and, internally, you know our service and you still learn something new, and, you know, kind of as you're doing.
And believe me, there was one more feature coming out from mobile engagement. It's one kind of a fantastic feature if people are actually looking for Windows app. I forgot about Windows Phone, but any phone development, mobile engagement is going to be a game changer for us.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that one. What is that?
So this mobile engagement is the next level where you can actually, you know, put a over when you are actually running on your application, you might wanted to give users like some push notification, some notifications based upon their usage and based upon their over a period of time working. So mobile engagement will give you a more detailed board or you know, real-time analytics or real-time app usage and to understand the user behavior and give them more friendly notifications or more give them more offers. So not every phone app is free like what I have done, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you might sell an app. So when you are selling an app, you might know which application answers give you a certain level of interaction. But mobile engagement would give you a level more than that, where you can actually customize offers for different users.
Wow, that actually sounds really interesting.
So based on the usage of the app or how they're using the information in the app, you can create a custom notification or offer them something special.
Yes. So there is a lot of things which are coming for mobile engagement. It's just in preview right now. If you look at the dashboard of mobile engagement, you can see the monitor, you can see the segments of the application or the user group. You can see the regions of the people who are actually using it. You can see how what you can you can real time send any notification based upon the customized usage of the data. So custom alerts based on the user information.
That sounds fantastic. Wow.
Yeah, I coded that into my app, and that was not fun to code.
Yeah, I totally agree with that part.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing that we have basically a service you can do and an SDK to tack that in. I may have to rip out some of my code.
No, that's the point, again. So every time, just listen to preview right now, that's in our public preview right now. So going down the lane, it might be you'll have more tools to support it for sure.
So if I may just summarize a little bit, Casey, then all that you just said is that obviously any of our listeners are interested in building a mobile app, obviously some sort of a back end service is going to be very useful, and it sounds like you were able to leverage the mobile services, right, in Azure.
Yes.
The App Insights, the mobile engagement, and notification hubs, and kind of tie that all together without really writing a whole lot of code, maybe some scripts and things like that, right, and using some of the databases that are built into mobile services. You were able to create this fairly elaborate system of providing notifications and information to all your users.
Yes, that is true. And I was like looking for more and more features, you know. That's
But I guess struck me was that, you know, no matter what platform you're building for these days, you need to have some sort of a back end. You know, that's
yes.
very important nowadays. And as you described, you know, you had to struggle with that initially by building a cloud service, and now you don't have to really write all that code. You just, you know, there's all these facilities available in Azure that any developer can walk up and use them, and you know, to provide this magical experience in their application, which is really nice. I mean, I think it speaks to all developers really to take advantage of all the features that Azure has to offer for mobile apps.
Yeah, definitely. So you look at my app, which is fairly giving, which is solving a simple problem. But imagine the same capability if you are actually working for a very big engagement can be done equally easily.
Mm-hmm.
There is no hidden stuff. There is no all the services in Azure, the beauty is they gel well. There is no kind of patching work you need to do in between to actually make sure that the service work together without an issue. The moment you have mobile service, you have API, you have notification hubs, you have authentication built into it. Everything is ready for you. It's just your idea how to actually use it and just create your app. That's it.
Wow, that's a nice way to close out the show right there. Great,
yeah.
Great statement right there, Casey. Well, Casey, thank you so much for waking up very early. I know, still early in India where you are, and I hope you have enjoy the rest of your day. And I'm sure our listeners will appreciate all your insights into building this mobile app and using some of the services in Azure.
Yeah, thank you,
Casey.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Sujit. Thank you, Ivan. Thanks for letting me be here and sharing my views. Thanks, everyone.
I'm sure we'll get you on when you have the full app, all the other apps ready to go. Okay.
Sure. Thank you.
Take care then, Casey. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcasts. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.